You're listening to a Mint podcast brought to you by HD Smartcast.
So, hey everyone, today, welcome to another episode of Why Not Mint Money. And today we have our guest as Tanya. She's heading marketing as well as corporate communication at CoDigit. And she's one of the founding members at Digit Insurance. Previously, she worked at Snapdeal before Digit Insurance. And today she's here to help us with the do's and don'ts of buying health insurance online.
Welcome to Why Not Mint Money, a personal finance podcast where we help you understand basic money concepts and share strategies for you to build your wealth. So let's get started with your money journey.
So hi, Tanya. Welcome to our podcast today. And thanks for joining in this conversation.
Hi, Anil. And thank you for the rich introduction. I just did not realize it's already been almost 7 years for me at Digit. So thanks for reminding me. I'm excited about talking to you today.
Yes. So Tanya, help us, understand what role technology plays in making health insurance more accessible and affordable in a country where, the penetration is so less. You know, how can technology help this penetration improve and more accessible to the people?
I'm so glad, Anil, that you mentioned this sentence where you said that, especially where the penetration is low.
Yeah.
And I would rather say that while there are so many keywords that are flashing around where we're talking about AI, we are talking about everything getting digitized, which it is. And we often quote the smartphone penetration and we talk about how smartphones are enabling everyone right in the villages, to the last person, technology is enabling. Of course it is. And I think insurance as an industry is also not untouched by it. But when I was thinking about this and I was realizing that technology right now in insurance, how it's really helping the customer is to gain the trust back in the relationship. And when I broke it down in my mind and I thought, what is trust really with an insurer? It is actually full transparency. It is timeliness. And it is basically being empathetic to the customer. And that is where, all the work is happening, even with you using technology or not. So when I'm talking about trust, I'm, of course, talking about, digitalization is enabling me to research better. It is helping me to compare better. It is helping me to see everything in black and white, largely. Even with social media, there are influencers, financial influencers who are helping you with at least giving you like a wider spectrum of views on how you should buy insurance, health insurance, all the types of insurances. So I think research is a major component where, the help is there from a technology point of view. And it is also more reachable because even if I talk about a 55-year-old who's having a smartphone, they may buy through an agent, but they are researching completely on their
online.
Own. So when they are actually sitting on, completely online, and when they're actually sitting across the table and they're making a decision or they're asking questions, they're already much more enlightened. So I think that technology is offering that enlightenment to them where they're being able to research better. So that's the first aspect. The second aspect is when I'm talking about timeliness, I think this is where insurers are working back end to make the system really strong and faster for the customer. So right from, obviously issuing the policy to tracking any kind of changes in your policy to, of course, the biggest moment of truth, that is claims. How do I make my entire process smoother and faster for the customer during these 3-4 phases is where technology comes into play. This is where, if at the back end, I'm being able to read your forms quickly, I'm being able to load in data quickly, automatically the customer may not know what is happening in the background, but they are getting faster resolution. And that is the beauty of technology, that it is so pervasive that you don't actually have to name it that abhi aap, ye experience kar rahe ho, ya hum log backend pe ye process kar rahe hain. Aapko speed se solution mil raha hai. And that is the beauty of technology. And that is where actually the real change lies. And then of course, when we are talking about empathy, it is not just an emotional component. It is actually technology based.
Okay.
So when I'm a customer, I am, even calling the customer care. And if the customer care already has full information about me, they know what is my past history of claims. Yeah. They know, you know, what is, say, for example, what is my sentiment when I'm just saying hello. If you can track that, that is where the beauty of technology merged with the process, giving the customer very nice, empathetic experience comes into play.
Yeah.
And this is, I would really say that technology, this is how it's bringing a better experience for customers. And that's how it's changing. So trust as an overall transparency. And these three things is changing the dynamics of the relationship between the customer and the insurer. And that is where technology is playing a part.
Yeah. So as you rightly said, the awareness, you know, it's a big technology is playing a big role in awareness where people are not aware. Secondly, when they are aware, their tech is helping them compare the plans, right? And with all these information, a lot of information around on the platforms. And also when they've bought in the process, they can track their claim process, which is a big thing, of course. And the second question I have for you, Tanya, is what are some challenges that people face that buying health insurance today online? And how they can tackle it.
So again, Anil, I would answer it in the same vein by saying that, is it really about the process that they are facing challenges online, or is it the equation? So I would say it's the latter, because it's still the equation between why someone preferring not being online is because the last mile trust in my mind is still not there.
Okay.
Right. So, you know, it's a human nature. When we are taking a decision, we just want to hold somebody accountable, right? And that is the beauty of that's the beauty of the offline network. And I think it will always, for the longer time, it will be there, right? So it's going to be there, because there is something about accountability of humans that we have experienced everywhere, even in our personal relationships, right? So we want someone to say yes with us. So I think that is where the challenge honestly is, because with, again, we've discussed the fact that people are using smartphones, insurers are making buy flows really simple for people. I think we've been bombarded so many ads talking about two-step flow, just one click buy. I think, and all of those are true. Are people not buying food, or basically are they not ordering food on Zomato, right? They are doing all of that, right? So it's not really a tech challenge as much as it is the psychological barrier. Now, talking about the psychological barrier, for that to change, it's going to be a push and pull from both sides. From an insurer point of view, I think the right knowledge, unbiased knowledge that we can give to the customer will really change the dynamics. The more transparent we are, eventually will, you know, make the fresher breed of people who are buying insurance, they'll feel more confident ki I can buy directly from the insurer and they'll be reachable. And talking about reachability itself is a big concept, because when you're accessible, when you're reachable to the customer, there is no IVR, there is, you know, complete aap call karte ho, koi hello bol deta hai, I think isse zyada what do you need? So those are the real things that matter to people, that there will be somebody when my claim will be there. And that's exactly why I'm buying insurance for. Right. And that's the yes that we as insurers have to say with the customer. And if we can say, yes, you are doing it right, I think that's when it will really shift online. And of course, when you'll break that down further, there will be interventions, there will be, initiatives that as insurers we have to do. And some of them will be technology based. Others will be transparency based, may not be technology, maybe just product awareness.
Right.
And of course, real intent of the company internally also to make sure that I want to settle a claim that is genuine, right? These things together will eventually actually get people online, because technology is not the barrier.
It is a psychological barrier, as you rightly said.
It is absolutely a psychological barrier.
It's a very nice way to put things, Tanya, honestly, right? So what people are holding back from buying insurance online? But how exactly, where are we at this problem? Like, is the problem halfway solved, or have we just started solving this problem, or it's almost solved?
See, it's not a quantifiable thing. So let me talk again from where the dynamic is as of now. I think it's a dynamic where there are some entities in the wild value chain who are questioning everything, right? There are entities who are basically giving comparison models, which are really simple. There are insurers who are basically trying to make sure that right from start to finish, they're explaining everything, maybe over-explaining it to the customer, right? So I think when those initiatives, they become hygiene, or rather, let me put it the other way, when the consumer starts demanding them as hygiene is when the whole ecosystem is seeing a metamorphosis. And that's happening. That's absolutely happening. So maybe, 5-6 years back, there would be few insurers who are talking about, transparency or telling the customer everything that is, why their claim is not met, giving them further documents to read in a simplified manner to, like we've also done at Digit, like to give the customer very summarized approach to their product documents. But now that has started becoming hygiene. And like for us also, if I say at Digit, now we have to think more. That what do we need to do more to make sure, this entire transparency is leveled, or basically we raise the level of it. Right. So this is the stage that those changes are happening. I think even from a regulator point of view, see the kind of, proposals that the regulator comes up with is also more in the customer's support. To make sure that they have a free look cancellation period. They are understanding those terms also in the policy. So I think the whole ecosystem is changing. If I have to put date and number, it's going to be a continuous evolving process. There will be never a place where we'll say that ab bahut simple ho gaye.
Online
aisa to kabhi bhi it's very deep.
Right.
Okay. Like to be honest, if the day everyone can say now we are super simple or now we've achieved it, I think there will be no claim rejection.
Everyone it's a very long process.
You see, the thing is, often why anyone has any kind of issue with a company is because their understanding from a customer's point of view also understanding is not there. That also leads to this relationship having a problem. So if full understanding is there from both parties, insurers know what customers need, customers know what insurer is giving me, then why is there a fight?
So the next question I have, Tanya, for you is, how is buying a health insurance different traditionally versus online? Okay. So traditionally, I mean, my father bought for me when these platforms were not there. When we used to just go and just to YouTube and just find, it was about probably 10 years back, people used to usually rely on agents or bankers to buy. And now things have changed. People can buy insurance. So how it is different? Like you said, the psychological barrier to hold someone accountable. I have my agent. If something goes wrong, I'll call the agent. But how easy it is online today and how the claim works. Again, for claim, I'm just calling my agent. He's just a call away. And of course, you said online, there are continuous efforts put in by these platforms there where you have people and say, listen to them. So, but how it is different, if you can just tell that.
Right. So see, again, I think it's a perceived cushion that I get when I'm talking to an agent, or basically you're saying traditionally, maybe a difference in my research approach when I'm going completely online, I'm going completely traditional. If I have to take
sorry to interrupt. Does he save cost? Do I save cost if I go online versus, and if yes, then how much is that cost?
Sure. So I'll come to the cost bit of it. From a process point of view, honestly, companies have similar processes. Yes, the online journey will be, it will be digital. You'll be filling everything on your own versus from an agent point of view, the agent may fill, they may fill it for you. From a recommendation point of view, the agent may recommend you certain insurers. So they may limit your consideration set in the first place. If you go to say an aggregator, or if you research online on search engines and you try and find out on Google Keep, who are there, what are my needs? So you will do it on your own, and your consideration set honestly may be larger, it may be wider. So that is there. Then from a medical point of view, or if it's required, for instance, again, I think now the system is changing where agents are also making sure and telling the customer that you need to declare things. But yes, there is still sometimes a gap out there where, online people, we are recommending, for example, in Byflows itself, to the customer to tell everything honestly about their existing diseases or any issue that they have, any symptoms, any medications that they take. So yeah. Those are the places where sometimes self-declaration versus agent interference declaration is there. Okay. I think agents have clarity or enough experience, they know about the fact that it's better to declare. But yes, there are times at which, you know, agents may recommend, or they we've seen some issues happening out there from a mis-selling point of view, or misinformation point of view. But say, for instance, a good partner network or a good partner would not do that because it is harmful for the customer itself. Mm-hmm. So I think the difference is between a perceived cushioning versus taking your decision on your own. From a cost point of view, there are obviously sometimes direct discounts, or basically directly buying with the insurer. There are discounts that are given because obviously it's the operational distribution that you're cutting down versus when you're buying it online, that kind of a commission is not there. So there will be a difference there, but it will vary from insurer to insurer and also product by product.
And also the next question is... with so much of information overload today, like if I go on YouTube and type which insurance to buy, so there are a lot of people, you know, suggesting a lot of suggestions. If you ask your friends and family, again, they will be have a lot of suggestions. So how does one know that, you know, what insurance is right for me?
So Anil, there are some basics, and then there would be a few things that would be relevant for specific people, their life stages or their conditions. So let's go over the broad ones first, which is relevant for everybody, right? Okay. So what are you buying insurance for? You're buying it for the time when your pocket will not be able to serve the purpose, or you are saving, etc. You want to save those to make sure that you're not, you know, breaking your gullak in those times, or you're not having to go to your families for that, right? That is the first thing that one needs to take care of. What is my sum insured that I need to buy? I think this is the biggest mistake, as well as the biggest benefit that you can do to your health insurance buying process, is that if you're aware about what is the right sum insured for me. As a very broad thing, we are, for example, we tell people that as of now, 10 lakhs is something that minimum you should be having, because if you're taking care of future expenses, medical inflation that is there, if you're taking care of all of those things, 10 lakhs is an amount that right now is the recommendation for people. Yeah. But again, I would say that one should look at which city that I'm living in. If I'm living in a metropolitan and the medical expenses are really huge out there, if I am used to going to a certain grade of hospitals and there the medical expenses are really high, all of those considerations take one takes, you can also look at a higher sum insured. Then also sometimes family size can also matter, all because mostly people buy floater plans, which is basically the same sum insured is shared by the family. Now here, as such, if you ask me that what are the number of cases where multiple family members have multiple claims, it's lesser. But again, I think we go back to the basics that we are taking health insurance for that unfortunate time, which is less chances, right? So less chances ke liye hi le rahe hain, right? So again, if you have two kids, you have your spouse in the plan, then saying that you're spreading out this 10 lakhs over these four people may not be the right sum insured. So I think family size, the place where you're sitting, where you're living, these could further, you know, increase the minimum level that you should be having, right? So the sum insured is the first thing. Now, when you talk about sum insured, there are features in them, the benefits in the policy itself, which enhance the sum insured. I think one thing that commonly everybody knows about is cumulative bonus. I think bonus is something that we understand even from a car insurance perspective. There is an increased benefit, or there's a benefit that you get. In health insurance case, you are getting it as a increased sum insured. So cumulative bonus is one which enhances your sum insured. One can check that what is the increase that you are getting every year. So some insurers are offering 50% increase every year, 100% increase every year. It can go up more than that as well. But here, I think one thing that if anyone is noting down right now is that you should see how does it go step down. So which means that once you claim, say today I take a sum insured of 10 lakhs, I have a 100% cumulative bonus. So next year, mera sum insured, if I'm not claimed in the entire year, becomes 20 lakhs. But the third year when I claim, does it go back to, does the entire 10 lakhs go back or is it step down? Right. So those are things that people should take care of, because a lot of time what happens is, again, the perceived cushioning is higher, thinking that mera sum insured to four times ho chuka hai, mere paas 40 lakhs hai. Theek hai?
Okay.
So is that the truth, or, and then when I claim, will it go back to 10 lakhs, or see, even sometimes people start from 5 lakhs and perceived unka 20 lakhs ho chuka hai. So wo 20 lakhs will go back to 5 lakhs or it will just go one level down.
Okay.
So, read in your terms and conditions. And see that whether you're going one level down or you're going completely zero in your cumulative bonus. But yes, it's a cumulative bonus is a must have. One should see that in the policy, especially for younger folks, because when you're buying insurance early in your life and, you know, if you're just taking the larger set, you may not have claims in the beginning, which means that you'll accumulate a decent amount of bonus, which means when the time unfortunately does come to claim, you will have a good amount with you, right? The third thing, again, from a sum insured point of view only, is reinstatement or refill benefit. There are different names. There are some slight differences in that. So reinstatement refill benefit basically is that, say if I have 5 lakhs only as my health insurance, but I have a refill benefit of maybe an unlimited refill benefit, infinite times. Now, what does that mean? That means that I may have a claim of, say, 4 lakhs, but the next time, again, I may have the same 5 lakhs available for me during the same year to claim again, right?
Okay.
So that means if you take 5 or 10 lakhs as the minimum sum insured that one may require, which is basically ek bar ka claim size kitna hoga, right? So I say that 10 lakhs seems like an okay enough claim size for me, say, even if I'm protecting myself against a critical illness and my expenses for the single claim also really huge, then also for the next claim within the same year, I'm again covered. Right? Now, here again, just like we were talking about cumulative bonus, where one should check ki step down ho raha hai or zero ho raha hai. Here one should see is that whether, you know, my this two things in this, whether it has a exhaustion clause, and whether it has a related, unrelated illness capping. Now, what that means is, what exhaustion clause does is, let's say I have 5 lakhs, now I make a claim of 4 lakhs, right?
Okay.
Now, what is left for me? 1 lakh, right? Now, if there was an exhaustion clause, that means you have, for your next claim, you have to first exhaust this 1 lakh also.
Okay.
Only this, after that, my refill will kick off. Right. Which means that next claim ke liye to mere paas 1 lakh hai, third claim ke liye I will have 5 lakhs.
Now,
that again sounds a bit rare, right? That teen claims, that claims one still thinks. So ideally there should be no exhaustion clause, which means that even if I use 4.8 lakhs this time, for the next claim I have 5 lakhs. So this is the beauty of no exhaustion clause.
Okay.
Right. And this is something that people, again, miss out understanding and also looking in their policies. And, you know, there may be a policy which says that there are unlimited times aapko refill milega, but exhaustion clause hai kya? Agar exhaustion clause hai, then it becomes thoda kam use ho jata. The second thing that I was mentioning about related unrelated illnesses, and I'll give you an example. So say, for example, unfortunately, someone is going through cancer treatment and their first claim is settled, maybe 4 lakhs. Now, if there is a clause which says that we will not give it for related illnesses, which means next time for the same disease, I will not be refilling your you know, sum insured amount, right? If it is on unrelated as well, related, unrelated, then it's fine. Which says that chai related, which is the same disease continuing over multiple claims, or if it is unrelated, which is anyway always served, because saying that pehli baar aapka koi accident ke related ho gaya, second time koi disease se related ho gaya. So every time be a refill. But agar aapne refill ke upar unrelated ke upar cap lagaya hua hai, which means that same disease ke patient ko next time, same year mein at least, the refill will not happen.
Okay.
So this is again related to sum insured. So here, Abibi, we are still sticking with the sum insured. So your sum insured is your core. So the core has to be really strong. After that, you can, of course, look at many other things. You can look at, you know, whether there is any zone-based capping. You know, what are the kinds of discounts that you are getting? Is there, of course, I think most of the policies have the pre and post hospitalization benefit, which is there. Which is there. I think most of the policies have that, but there will be differing number of days, 30, 60, 60, 90, etc. Things one can see. But these are some of the few things which are firstly you should look at, because that's the main thing that you are settling. Aap har roz hospital mein aapko kuch extra money mil raha hai, those benefits you are getting, great. Those are good to have. But must have is first that you should get a you know, the right sum insured. The other thing is the from an experience point of view, which again, we always suggest people to look in for, is that your policy should not have a room rent capping.
Okay.
Right. Now, again, I will liven this up with an example. Say, for instance, you have a 5 lakh ka sum insured and aapki room rent ki capping hai 1%.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is I can only take a room up to 5,000 rupees. Now, anyone who has had an experience in a hospital will realize that 5,000 ka rule is generally the shared room. Right. If you want a private room, you can go for it even within this policy, but then everything will be cut down pro rata basis, the entire claim size. Okay. Right. So this capping can be very detrimental, especially with the average sum insured levels. I would say even 10,000 rupees, right? Which means agar aapka 10 lakh ka bhi claim hai, sum insured hai, then also that means 1% is 10,000. That means 10,000 ka room you can take. Again, if you look at the top hospitals in Delhi, Bombay, even Bangalore, I would say 10,000 again, maybe you're like a double shared room. So look for a policy that doesn't have any room rent capping. It should not play a role. Aap koi bhi, as long as it is within your sum insured, obviously, which it will be. Matlab aapke 5 lakh, 10 lakhs ke to your room rent will. It should not affect the costing.
Right.
So that is another important benefit that one should look at. And of course, apart from that, I think people do look in for, you know, well, whether animal health checkups are covered. Wellness has become like a big demand. There, of course, there are different insurers are offering different packages. One can look, definitely one can take a lot of advantage from it. You can rather save a lot of money, especially with the teleconsultations that some insurers are giving. We are also giving. Those actually can save you a lot. Lot of money, because people are doing online consultations, and after COVID you've got used to it also. And discount ho jate hain, and you can get discounts on saving, discounts on x-rays, blood tests, etc. So wellness package is something that people look in for, and that one should also look at. So yeah, so those are the things. But yeah, I would again, maybe one line I would see, keep your core strong. The core is your sum insured, and for that core you see the things that you're relying on. So cumulative bonus, reinstatement, refill, what you're relying on, great. You should rely on those. But within those, what are you, the things that you should always remember is the step up, step down, and the no exhaustion clause, related, unrelated illnesses. And obviously, from a no room rent capping point of view, that benefit should not have a capping.
Really great insights, Tanya. Actually, you know, even I think even I need to relook at my insurance now, especially I was aware about room rent capping and things like summer short, how much you need, but I was really not aware of exhaustion clause and related unrelated. So
I also came to know when I joined the industry. I had an insurance before that, but I didn't know about it. So
I'll relook at my health insurance for sure, and I'm sure listeners will also relook at their health insurance after this podcast.
I think, if you know, I can use an example. A very close friend of mine recently, just last week, he sent me his family's you know, policy documents, If he's listening, he'll know I'm talking about him. And he did mention to me that, you know, okay, these are the clauses, I have a bonus, etc. And when I mentioned those questions, yes, those are not things that, you know, anyone tells you proactively about. Rather, another thing, you know, interestingly, which I can mention out here is that he also has a separate cancer cover policy. Okay. So when I was talking to him about the fact that actually your core policy will also cover cancer. So do you really need an extra cancer cover policy, or actually you should just have a good sum insured in your policy?
Okay.
Like that should suffice.
Yeah.
So those things that one sometimes is not aware of, like he did ask me, so my normal policy will cover cancer? I said, of course it will. Why people are buying cancer cover specifically, like differently, was because sometimes if you don't have a very good sum insured in your base policy, then we were pitched taking a separate cancer cover. But actually, what's the point? Because you are actually almost paying the same sum insured. Because cancer ke liye alag se pay kar rahe ho, tab aapne jitna bhi additional sum insured premium pay kiya, you would rather, you know, fortify your sum insured in your base policy and make that stronger.
True. Good, very good insight on this, honestly. You've covered most of the things, but still, if you could summarize in 2-3 pointers where what common mistakes people do when they buy health insurance online, because of that their experience becomes bad and they feel like, no, just go ahead and approach the agent.
Okay. So I think sometimes a lot of benefits can, you know, really confuse us as people, because we are seeing 300%, 400% cumulative bonus, and we're not looking at the clauses or the restrictions within that. And we see words like unlimited refill benefit, etc., but again, not seeing clauses within that. So I think those are 2-3 things that one should look at. And base sum insured is the biggest opportunity, I would say. Let me not call it mistake, because if someone is coming to buy health insurance, I think they should be complimented right then. And I don't think so anyone does mistake, because everybody is coming for protection. But the issue is the awareness, and the awareness therefore is that first rule, the core should be strong. Base sum insured is good, you are actually protected, and start young. And I think this is another thing which we should really highlight in this cast, is that people think that abhi mujhe kuch nahi hai. Let me get insurance maybe when I'm 35, or, you know, nearing that time, or maybe when I have a kid. Actually, the best time for health insurance is when you don't have anything. So you have any
restrictions.
Your premium is lesser. And of course, you're covered for accidental part of, you know, any kind of hospitalization as well, which honestly, a younger life state sometimes does also go through. So I don't think so that has like an age parameter. So why ignore that part of it? And when you will come to a stage where there will be some kind of disease, etc., your, you know, again, things like your cumulative bonus, etc., will be already there, and your policy will be there long enough for you know, you to actually, your claims will also become smoother when you're there with the company for a much longer time. So I think keep your core strong, have a great base sum insured. Definitely look at the benefits, but first cream out the important ones, which we mentioned, which is basically the cumulative bonus, the reinstatement or refill benefit, and the no capping on the room rent. Take those benefits and read those clauses really, you know, properly. Maybe if you're talking to a teleconsultant or you're talking to your agent, ask about those things importantly. And then obviously, if after that there are some extra benefits you're getting, great, but then those should not be your decision maker parameters. Basically, you should not see, because I'm getting this part and this one, I'll go for that. Rather, where you're getting a no cap on room rate, we are getting no exhaustion clause, you're getting coverage on related illnesses also, go for that.
Last question, Tanya, I have for you is, in the beginning we mentioned, okay, the tech is enabling people to make themselves aware about the health insurance like never before, and with a lot of content around the health insurance today, with all these influencers are making. But what is the best way that people can keep themselves informed about health insurance. One is when before they buy, the discovery phase, and second is right after they bought, is this policy right for them, or if they should switch to some other better policy, or how should they keep themselves aware ki liya hai maine, so after buying it, is this a policy right for me, or is there any better policy out there? Sometimes there are new features being rolled on, right? So how do I keep myself informed that there is this new policy, health insurance policy, which is better than my policy? And so basically all that. So what should they do? The best way to inform, either they should rely on these platforms, these videos, or any websites or anything that you would like to highlight.
So I think your question is more on the sources, like how valid is my source and how which source should I rely on. So again, I think, you know, I like personally, I'm not in the anti-fin influencers band. Actually, I say it's good, because see what happens when you're looking at, even you look at an Instagram fin influencer, forget it, you know, that the person has to be, at least they start the conversation and they start making you ask questions, right? Here what I would just recommend to the listeners is that let the questions come up from these conversations. Let your answers come up from actually the insurer or the aggregator or IRDAI's own website, where they actually have a good section where they're answering FAQ, frequently asked questions, etc. So questions can come, and the conversation can come from the influencers, and they need to just scream out the answers of it. I think that as a method works, because a source, as you rightly said, now it has become like infinite sources, right? But the problem kya hai? Actually, it's good na. You get so many questions in your mind, you get point of views, but your answer should not come maybe only from them. Your knowledge can come, or your some bit of your pre-information can come.
Yeah.
Your final answer should come from the insurer that you're buying. Ask those questions
from the regulator.
Ask those questions from the insurer then. Kisi influencer ne bola hai ki, you know what, Ayush is not a great benefit. It doesn't make sense because most of the times you actually need to get hospitalized in the registered hospitals, etc., which is also true. But get your right answer from the insurer and ask that, okay, what has the insurer enabled? Have they added some, you know, benefits in the wellness benefit that makes sure that, you know, if you're going for an Ayurvedic treatment, etc., there are some discounts maybe available.
Of course.
So understand. And then see that how much of an extra premium are you paying for that benefit? So if you think that there's an insurer who's giving that benefit, but a much higher premium, only for that benefit I'm giving that higher premium, then don't give that higher premium.
Right.
One should see what extra premium you're paying for which benefit.
Yeah.
So if you're paying premium for a benefit, for a policy that is giving you no cap on room rent, for a policy giving you maybe organ donor expenses, one policy, the other policy is not giving you. I think those are important benefits that you can differentiate on, and you can actually pay extra premium for that. Because at the end of the day, researching, decision making is about, a big part of it is the premium. Now, premium is dictated by benefits. Now, benefits may, the only thing one needs to avoid is one doesn't get confused with so many benefits that one doesn't see the important ones first.
Yeah.
Right? An important one kya hai? Firstly, sum insured, the base, the core, that has to be really strong. So, no compromise on that.
Yeah.
And put it down from there only, making sure that clauses which affect the sum insured itself, which is within the reinstatement and co-cumulative bonus, etc., that we discussed, those should not be. As long as those are honestly good, then go for the cheapest. So select your benefits and then just go for the cheapest, and obviously see things like claims and of the company. Go on their social media handles, see how they settle your queries, because honestly, be that customer who's complaining 2 years down the line. So if right now an insurer is really answering, is responsive, is handling a query on social media really well, that means after 2-3 years, if you have an issue, they will handle your case, right? So while social media may seem like a really, you know, top end point, and say kya chuki itna important hai, but actually that person could be you, right? So that's what we need to look at.
Right. Right. It's a very nice way to look at it, Anya, that, okay, let the conversation start from the social media, but then you need to find your answers from the insurers as well as the regulators. And also, I was unaware of this part where you have some FAQ section at the IRDA website, and I think listeners will also get some help from that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think I'm almost done with my questions. Yeah, Olka, so if you have anything to add, you can go ahead.
No, I think you guys did cover everything. We spoke about how one should buy the health insurance, what are the important things to look at, digital versus traditional. We discussed the mental barrier, the psychological barrier around it. I think, yeah, that covers everything when you're talking about health insurance. And we did speak about how youngsters should actually get their insurance sooner, because actually you should buy health insurance when you have nothing. And maybe one more thing, as last words, I would like to highlight for everybody is that while it's very tempting to say no to a lot of questions that are asked in the medical section in your proposal forms when you're filling for health insurance, be really clear with your insurer, right? Because what happens is that this is the major part of the reason why claims do get rejected. And honestly, from a company standpoint, they are honest rejections, right? Because there are things that you are not or hiding or not disclosing, and they in the next month can cause, or after 2-3 months, they cause the claim. And for us to also sustain, for the actual genuine crowd, for us to have a really strong fraud management system is very important. Because if we don't do that, we are actually not serving the customer only, the genuine customer. Right? Today, our system is able to give better pricing. We are able to do innovations with product. If we are strong at both ends, also from protecting us, because when we say us, we are actually the customers who are, putting their trust in us. So if there's one single fraud also we are paying, we are actually underserving, or we are actually not serving the customer who's genuinely, put their money with us to protect them in the future. So think about it like that. So a genuine customer, if they're listening to me, they'll understand what I'm saying. So therefore, be it the genuine customer, which says, and genuine customer is not that I don't have any illness. A genuine customer who is the one who tells me at least I have this.
Correct. But I think, Tanya, a lot of these insurers, health insurers, are making the people go through the medical test and all, which gives the insurers a clearer picture, if I'm not wrong.
But both ways it happens. So if there are certain criteria in which only if you declare that there is something, or say after a certain age, the medical tests are there. Apart from that, it's on self-declaration.
Right. But in what about such cases where the customer is only not aware about, some underlying condition for illness? And in that case, what should he do? He should better go ahead and get the tests done.
So there is a question which most of the insurers have on it, and which is saying that, do you have any symptoms?
Okay.
Right. And those are the things that you need to answer very clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as insurers, it's our duty to ask that question really clearly, because that's sometimes the problem. And apart from that, obviously, if there's a sudden disease which has come up, which would not have a symptom, of course, those things are covered. It's not said that aap insurance buy kyun karte. So after two months, if someone gets dengue, it will be covered. That will not have a symptom. That will not have anything suddenly. It is a sudden disease. But then there are symptoms like, gallstones, etc., which it cannot be that they will just come up in the next 2 months. They will, the customer would be having stomachache, they would be having issues, and that is how it comes up in the next month. And that is how the specific illness ka waiting period, etc., is defined, and it is consistent for across all insurers.
Right.
So I think that question of symptoms is something that one should answer. So it's both ways. If we are not telling clearly, the insurer ko kaise pata chalega?
Then
get into saying everybody should get into medical tests, that's also not fair for the larger janta.
Correct. True. So, but that is a very nice way to put things, that it's not the insurer which has to be transparent, but also customer who has to be equally transparent with the insurer, for both of them to have a smoother experience.
Absolutely.
Okay, Tanya, thank you so much for joining in this conversation today.
Thank you, Anil. Glad I was able to share some nuggets of information with people. And even if one part of it makes sense to just one person also, I think it's all worth it.
So that brings us to the end of this episode. If you want to know more on this topic, you can reach out to me on my Twitter, which is @PosteAnil, or on LinkedIn using my full name, Anil Poste. We will be happy taking your suggestions. Thank you for tuning in. See you in the next episode.
To stay updated on this podcast, follow us at HD Smartcast on all the major social media platforms. To listen to more such podcasts, log on to www.hdsmartcast.com.